Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. As you recall from last week, we're in the midst of the first missionary journey. The Apostle Paul has been in Antioch of Pisidia, where he had great results, but also great trials. It says in verse 51 of chapter 13, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium." From Antioch of Pisidia to Iconium was just a short way away. It's southeast of Antioch of Pisidia. So basically turning back toward the direction that they came in. Verse 52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Chapter 14, verse 1. Excuse me. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." There beside that phrase, "so spake," write chapter 13, verses 16 through 41. This is the same thing that they had just preached in Antioch of Pisidia, about the kingdom and about the responsibilities of the kingdom. Notice verse 16 of chapter 13. "Then Paul stood up and said, beckoning with his hand, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Now to sum it up, what did Paul preach in Iconium? He preached Jesus. Where did Jesus come from? What was Jesus here to do? He preached the kingdom, and he preached the authority, the name of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 2 of Acts 14, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." In other words, they lied. They told them this is not true, they must have, else nothing would have stirred them up. They brought lies to them and caused them to stir up the same as they did back in Antioch of Pisidia. "Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the name of the Lord," speaking boldly in the Lord, "which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." That's the pattern back in the New Testament days. When the apostles were living on this earth, they had Jesus with them, working with them in order to confirm the word. This is Mark chapter 14, verse 20. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the word was confirmed by signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, "But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles." You know, most of the time when I see people divided, maybe even a congregation divided along some lines, I can't speak for everyone, but mostly the preacher is blamed. Now, this might be true. It might be the preacher deserves blame because he's not preaching the truth, or he's not preaching the truth in love. But if he is preaching what the apostles and prophets taught, if he's preaching the words of Jesus, if he is preaching what God has laid out before him to preach, and the people are divided, there's probably some good reason that the people are divided. Some are not believing. Others want to stir up things, and usually it's out of envy. And this happened in the first century. We see it today. We will see it in the future, and we'll not be surprised, because that's what happened when the truth is preached. Some believe it, some don't believe it, and there is a problem with it. It's not always the preacher that causes the problem, but it's someone who with envy cannot stand with the preacher. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and under the region that lieth round about. They went back toward the coastline to these cities, Lystra and Derbe, and they began, well, they didn't hide themselves. They weren't trying to escape necessarily, but they were out in public and in private, teaching and preaching the word of God. They were not afraid of dying, but they were gone to another place and were continuing to do that. It's always amazing to me how that they never think that if they're not preaching here, they're going to be preaching somewhere else. But that's not so with the apostles. So, what are the tools used by those that stand against the truth? Oftentimes our detractors look back to the days of the medieval popes and things of that nature, and show that Christianity was something that was like this. They despitefully used people in the Inquisition and in the marching the conquest of the Holy Land. But that's not Christianity. Christianity preaches. Christianity causes people to hear the word of God, and does not despitefully use people. And those who claim that we are like they were then are simply in error on the matter and need to investigate more closely. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they did what? Did they hide in some hole? No. There they preached the gospel. They made sure that the gospel had its hearing. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now, the writer here, Luke, he lays it on to where you cannot understand it any different than the man was crippled. He had always been crippled from his mother's womb, and he had never walked. He wants to get a point across, and you need to take that point. There was no sense in denying that this man had always been crippled. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, in other places where this was done, this caused great wonder and joy in the city. In the city of Jerusalem, even though it was a divided place, there were many that saw the the man at the beautiful gate, just living well after his encounter with Peter and John. And they rejoiced, and many became Christians after that. But this was a place where there was great opposition. Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. You may want to mark Acts 3, verse 6 at that point. Now, what was Paul preaching? It says Paul, the same heard Paul speak. What was he preaching? Can you deny that he was preaching anything else than what was preached in earlier times? The Holy Spirit was guiding all this. And so the Holy Spirit would tell them what to say. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, as Philip was preaching to the city of Samaria, he preached unto them Jesus. That's what this man heard. Now, later on, you're going to find that many looked at what happened to Paul and Barnabas, or because of Paul and Barnabas, and their minds immediately went, oh, this must be the Roman gods that we're worshiping. But that's not what was being preached. Jesus was being preached. And so when their minds immediately went to Paul being Jupiter Barnabas being Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, you can just mark that down as wrong. They were not. They had no reason to insinuate that it was from these Roman gods. They should have known it. John 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out. This was a show of extreme agitation. In the ancient Near East, if you wanted somebody to know that you were very upset about something, you would tear your clothes at the neck and would cause harm to what you wore. They rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? Still respectful. We also are men of like passions. Now, you may not understand in the King James what he's talking about, like passions. They're saying we're men like you, men of the same nature. Many of your translations put it. Men of the same nature, just like you. We are not gods. We are just men. And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Turn from Jupiter. Turn from Mercurius unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Cross-reference Exodus 20, verse 11. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling our hearts with food and gladness. Reference chapter 17, verse 27 of Acts, where Paul was on Mars Hill and gave much the same speech. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they not the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. They just barely got it done, but they got it done. It was one of those days. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a stoning or seen it depicted in some way, but the Jews of the ancient Near East knew how to kill someone. They thought he was dead. He was bloody and dirty, and he had injuries that they thought he couldn't come back from. Perhaps they felt for a pulse and they couldn't find it. I don't know. In my opinion, and I'm going to state this as opinion, this is a miracle, because Paul should have been dead after a stoning. But he was surrounded by brethren, and he got up and walked away. It doesn't give his condition. It doesn't say that he walked away without a limp or that he was jumping up and praising God. No, he just got up and walked away. Supposing he had been dead, verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. He was well enough to go on a trip. He did not have to spend a long time in healing. He got up and took care of business. I believe that this is a miracle. To at least the people of the city they were preaching in, that they understood that God was in control here. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. They weren't running and hiding. They weren't just barely by the skin of their teeth making it back to Antioch of Seleucia. No, they went back and took care of business. They confirmed the people. Verse 22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples, I heard you died. I heard they stoned you. You're walking. Yes, I'm walking. I'm taking care of business. The Lord is with me. And exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. This was a time when they ordained elders. Now, it seems to me that somebody's going to have a problem that these elders would have been too young in the faith in order to take on these tasks. Now, there is that's a pretty good argument, except where you get to that the Holy Spirit was doing this. The Holy Spirit was telling them they needed elders. And you have the fact that there were many people that had studied the Word of God all their lives, even Gentiles, because of the Septuagint Scriptures. Gentiles were known. We've already seen in the case of Cornelius, who have studied to the point. They knew the will of God. They knew the mind of God in many cases. They just didn't have Jesus before they came out. And so men who were good men, found to be good men, and were shown to be good men by the Holy Spirit, they became elders. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And so even as they were returning back to Antioch, where they began at the beginning, not Antioch of Pisidia, but Antioch back in the land of Syria, they continued to preach the word. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. And so as they went back, they did not immediately pack up to go on another missionary journey, but they had a job of relating all these things that had happened to them, and began to do so and to continue to prepare for the next missionary journey. We'll end our study at this time. I'm feeling that this study didn't go as long as the others, but one full chapter seems to be a place to stop. And so we'll begin next week at chapter 15 and verse 1, Lord willing. Thank you for your attention, and continue to study the Word of God.